Baseball fans, get Fubo to watch your team without cable. Fubo has Bally Sports, ESPN, and more top sports channels. You can record games with the included DVR or stream them on the go with the Fubo app. Start watching today at FuboTV.com. That's FuboTV.com.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Baseball fans, get Fubo to watch your team without cable. Fubo has Bally Sports, ESPN, and more top sports channels. You can record games with the included DVR or stream them on the go with the Fubo app. Start watching today at FuboTV.com. That's FuboTV.com.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
The 5 o'clock hour, it's here with Chuck and Chernoff. We're on time. Look at us. The 5 o'clock hour is brought to you by your name right here.
Brought to you by my password.
Well, we have a tagline?
Chuck, 1, 2, 3.
Now, we have a real opportunity here for you. This piece of real estate in the 5 o'clock hour could be yours. I'm just saying, all of you could be the ones. We get you set for Braves. Mariners, another 9:40 start tonight. Goodness, 9:40. Why did 9:40 not used to feel like it was that late? What, there was a time when 9:40 felt like...
Oh, we were just getting started.
I mean, yeah, we're about to get turned. And by 9:40 now, I'm turning off the light. I did get to see most of the Braves game last night. In and out of some snooze breaks. I did wake up for the seventh inning. It was lucky for me there were no hits from the third to the sixth or in the first six innings at all. So I didn't miss anything. Then I saw Max's last out in the sixth.
His last out.
Right. Then I saw the Braves offense come alive with an Acuna hit, and then he stole two bases. Then Ozzie knocks him in. I'm like, here, I woke up at the right time. Then they left Ozzie stranded, and I felt a little uncomfortable. But what a job by Max. Six innings, no hits, two walks, seven Ks. He's got his ERA moving down after those horrid first two starts because he's now gone 15 straight scoreless. And then it was Pierce Johnson, who was filthy.
And just blew him away, all three hitters.
Then you had Joe Jimenez, who has been nails all year. He got into trouble. How about getting off the hook by getting Julio Rodriguez to pop out to left, and then he strikes out Haniger to get the third out and gets out of the jam. So you're up 1-0, and they weren't going to give Rysell three straight days, as much as I know social media wanted it. They were mad. They were mad that Rysell couldn't pitch a third straight. So they went with Minter, who had pitched one day before but had a day off. So this was going to be his third appearance in four. And AJ's numbers in the ninth are not good. I don't know why. They're just not good. Last night, he gives up a single to lead off the inning. It looked like he was about to walk Garver, and the umpire gave him a close call, which in retrospect, maybe not a great thing. And then Garver tattooed a ball. Mariners walk it off 2-1. TV was off before the ball even hit the seats in my house. Yeah, too bad.
Oh, so you didn't see Snitz or hear Snitz's explanation. But
what did he say?
I don't know what that was, but I know what it is. Early in the season, no reason to risk anything. First couple of it's always the same stuff, but it's like, dude, it's May tomorrow, okay? And he was in Florida for 6 weeks, and now this is his sixth start of the season, and he had no hitter going, and he's Max Fried, and he's 30 and a grown man. Let him run. Let him run.
Second time you got it out now. Chuck, you're right.
Thank you.
Everybody listening thinks Max should have stayed in the game at least another inning.
And Ozzie's back, and he's a baller, so.
That's right, too. Yeah. So that was the good. The bad, we're watching the continuation of this Acuna-Riley Olsen slump, which will end sooner rather than later. But last night, those three were combined 1-for-12 with 7 strikeouts. Eek. Eek, eek, eek. So when it does turn, someone's going to pay. Some pitcher somewhere is going to pay. And I hope that's Luis Castillo has to pay tonight.
And I said, Sean Murphy is also in that, but his contribution is zero, so we don't include him. And Acuna, he's been playing better, but him is still not the power even.
Nope.
It'll come.
Dead ball. I told you, dead ball. This is what's happening. The Braves have barreled up so many balls and exit velo. We are dead ball era. I'm convinced of it now. No, don't even argue with me. It's dead ball.
He stole second and third at least twice this month, if not 3 times.
Well, third base again last night was awesome. He just keeps running.
Oh, he just, yeah, if the pitcher, be a right-handed pitcher, doesn't matter. If he's just not paying attention, he gets that little walking, walking, walking. He is off. And the only thing the pitcher can do if he does notice is balk, which would send him over there anyway.
It's like watching your kid play Little League. Like my kid's playing 11U, and their big move is to try to get the catcher to walk you back to third base, because then when he makes the throw, what are you doing?
Oh, you're zooming running right past him.
Well, that's Acuna. He's playing Major League Baseball like a Little Leaguer. Dare you to make the throw. And he's going to beat it there. So last night had some historical significance. Both pitchers had no hitters through 6 innings. Sarah Langs, who I think is one of the best when it comes to baseball stats, said last night's game was only the 7th time that both pitchers have had no hitters through 6 innings in the last 50 years. So that's the 7th. The funniest is to look at the previous 6. Jose Barrios and Corbin Burns did it when Milwaukee played Minnesota in 2021. Before that, you had to go all the way back to 2014 when the Giants played the Mets, and it was Jake Peavy, Jacob DeGrom. That same year when the Braves played Milwaukee, Aaron Harang and Matt Garza both pitched into the 7th with no hitters. Then in 2010, Gavin Floyd, Ted Lilly. It was Chicago against Chicago. Florida against the Giants was Kevin Brown and William Van Landingham in 1997.
Nice.
And then 1980, Rudy May for the Yankees and Steve Trout for the White Sox. Those are the 7 times it's ever happened. I love baseball randomness. It's the greatest thing ever. Here's the number that should concern all of you. It's time to panic. The Braves have only hit 3 home runs in their last 7 games. Why? Dead ball.
Dead ball or the win, at least for what, the Saturday game?
Dead ball. Explain to me that deal. Are they still Safeco last night? Is that Safeco Seattle, or are they changing the sponsor?
No. T-Mobile.
Whatever. Yeah. I'm so bad at sponsors. Okay.
You are.
I Three Rivers is still in Pittsburgh in my mind. So that's a dome thing, but it's open. Like, the wind comes in through the windows, and like, everybody was in jackets. It was 52 degrees. Mm-hmm. It's covered, but it's
no,
not a dome.
It's open air.
Yeah.
It's like it was raining at SoFi when it was covered.
It's open air.
What are we doing? It's like somebody built your house and didn't give you windows.
You know what it is? It's like one of those, like on your back patio, the wooden slats. What is that?
Slats.
It's not a real roof, but it's just
screened-in porch?
No, it's just you got a frame and you just got like boards atop.
Sure.
Do you have any idea what I'm talking
you're
about?
You're doing a great job
right
now.
Does it actually block the sun?
You're selling it wonderfully.
Pergola.
Pergola.
Isn't that it?
Well, those have the big openings in the slats.
Yes.
Okay, calm down.
That's what I'm talking
My
about.
My goodness. Race car in the red. That's not what a dome stadium is supposed to be.
But that's the stadium version of that.
So in SoFi,
it's sort of a roof, but it doesn't function fully.
Is it cheaper that way? Like a carport instead of a garage door?
It's brick on 3 sides, yeah.
Hoyt told me where he was sitting for the championship game when Georgia played TCU. It was pouring in this dome stadium, and he was getting soaked
raining
instead
inside
of a dome.
In Southern California.
Very weird. Very weird. Tonight, Raylo gets the start for the Braves. Ronaldo Lopez and his 0.72 ERA against Luis Castillo at 9:40. The Braves are trying to avoid losing 2 in a row for the first time this season. If you want to see social media go into a meltdown, oh my God, if it happens. So let's root against that.
Mariners pitch, man. Castillo can do it too. I've got more about the Mariners.
I know you do. Your podcast should be called More About the Mariners. Just random thoughts about baseball. Here's Chuck with More About the Mariners. Let's get to the football very quickly. The Falcons, as Chuck told you, have picked up the 5th-year option on Kyle Pitts. Not a surprise. It's only about $10-plus million. They were always going to pick it up. It fits. He's a first-round pick. He was top 5. You were going to do it unless he lost a leg in a car accident. So Kyle's going to be back. Meanwhile.
Car accident?
No, I was saying it was a for instance. Right, Mike.
If.
Yeah. The national media will not move on from the Falcons' decision on Michael Penix.
Okay, sure.
Like, I understand us not moving on. We have to continue to talk about stuff like that. But there's got to be other topics on NFL Live, right? Talk about Drake May. Discuss Caleb Williams. Talk about I don't know how Roma Dunze is going to do in Chicago.
They may all feel the same way about those picks, and it's the same as they felt before the draft. They all feel the same way about Michael Penix, but it's in such opposition to what a normal human would have felt about the Falcons making that pick before Thursday night that it's kind of worth talking about, or at least you can get some mileage out of it, mm-hmm. on April 30th if you have to talk NFL for 3 hours.
So let's turn to some insiders to clear up some of the stuff that we heard. Like we had heard teams were trying to trade into the top 10. It worried the Falcons that the Saints and the Steelers and all these teams were going to try to trade in to get ahead of the Falcons to take Michael Penix. Well, here's Adam Schefter. He was on the Pat McAfee show discussing why the Falcons at least didn't consider moving back in the draft. He gives you the scoop.
They were at 8. They could have traded back to, at the very least, number 10, gotten something from the Jets who had some interest in moving up in the draft. The Jets would have moved up. The Falcons could have moved back 2 slots, gotten an extra 4th-round pick at the very least from the New York Jets. They say somebody would have taken Michael Penix before 10. That wouldn't have happened. I'm just telling you, that wouldn't have happened.
Now, that's not Schefter giving you an opinion. He talks every team. He's like, nobody was taking Michael Penix in the top 10. Nobody was bumping up to 7 to take him. So the Falcons were concerned about moving back 2 spots. Schefter's like, sounds like maybe there was a deal on the table or we could talk about it. You still get your quarterback and you pick up some more draft capital. That didn't happen. Well, now Mina Kimes, who remains my favorite at ESPN, still to this day is trying to make sense in her mind. She's had days to sleep on it and ruminate on it, trying to make sense of the Falcons' process, paying Kirk, and then drafting Michael Penix.
The problem is you can't reconcile anything about this pick with the Kirk Cousins contract. They don't go together, right? The only way you can justify it is that they changed their mind or they fell so in love with the player. There's no logical process where you do that Kirk Cousins deal thinking you're going to take a quarterback now.
Oh, sorry, Mina. I agree with that I think when they paid Kirk, I don't think they had any visions of Penix. I think this is a late, we went to Seattle, we saw him throw, we coupled that with sitting down with him at the combine, we had another meeting with him, and I think they fell head over heels. And we all know when we've fallen in love, we've made bad decisions. You disappear to Vegas for 3 days or something when you're supposed to be home, or you just don't go to work, or but, you know, you do those things when you're in love, when you're stupid.
Yeah, for all of the analogies, whether it's already had a car and you go buy a Jag and already had a wife and then you get a girlfriend, whatever. Yeah, they all fit, but how about if you just signed a quarterback to a 3-year, $135 million deal, and then you had the 8th overall pick, and then you spent it on a quarterback, too? Like, that's a pretty good analogy for this as well. It's as absurd mm-hmm. as anything else anyone brings up.
You're not wrong. Even with the Falcons trying to mansplain it, and they have, succession plan, we don't think we'll be picking here again. Like, all those things could be true. All of that stuff could be true, and it still doesn't make sense process-wise. Because what you're doing is saying, we're okay with being okay. We got Kirk. We didn't really go big in the free agent market on defense. We did make a couple of smaller moves around him on offense. We're okay with being a little better, but yes, we could have made the 8th pick something that would benefit Kirk. It could have been a defensive piece to play right away, but we're fine with where we are. We'll be okay for 2 years, a little better, and then we'll reevaluate with Michael when he starts.
I wonder what their internal thought is regarding how much they're going to get dinged from the league.
Well, that could be a part of it, too.
I wonder what their internal, like, maybe they know something or they feel something, or maybe it's just all out there and they're like, you know what, let's just operate as if it'll happen when I have no idea.
Here's my gut on that.
I don't know how you strategize that.
Here's what I think it is. We talked about this a week or two ago. If the Falcons really think the only thing they have on us is Kirk saying what he said, okay, I'll roll the dice. There's a chance that, does the league work this way? We want phone records. Now that we're investigating you, we want text messages, and the Falcons know we're busted. So that might be a first-round pick. So here's another reason we're going to get ahead of it, take a quarterback, and when we tell you when they take the first-round pick away, this is why we took Michael. Like, they can sell that to you as some rationale for doing what they did.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. I don't know, first-round, second-round, third-round, whatever the pick may want. I don't like losing any draft pick, but if it is an impactful pick, that makes it even less likely that you, quote, get good and stay good with Michael Penix or anybody else at quarterback. You lose a first-round pick in that case. They've done it to the Patriots before,
But I think their rationale would be the other side of it. It's like, when are we going to have a chance to take the quarterback again? We're going to lose that pick. We're not going to be in the top 10 anymore. Like, that's how they're selling it. Whether you like it or not or I like it or not, that's how they're selling it.
And I would have everyone in Flowery Branch just to consider that if you get penalized a first-round pick, for instance, it makes it more likely that you do wind up back at the top of the draft. you lost a first rounder when everybody else got one.
Mm-hmm. No question. Here is one more from Mina Kimes, and this is more specific to the evaluation of Penix. And her thought, based on what she's hearing, is the Falcons viewed Penix very differently than everybody else at the top of the draft.
Let's say you truly believe, you know, he's the second best quarterback in the draft, and you have this opportunity to take him. And I have two objections to that. One, you're on an island if you believe that. I mean, you and I, we're not even talking about the player. First of all, the notion that other teams tried to take up Penix, trade up and take Penix, some of those, the ones that have been reported, I know are just not true. I'll just say that. But you know you're on an island there. So you, not only are you like, this is it insane from cap and roster construction, whatever, like your evaluation of the player is unique, which typically doesn't work out, by the way.
Oh boy.
Word was, and Mina Kimes says bad word, but word was Saints, Seahawks, Raiders had thought.
Now you've got Mina,
trading up.
But you got Mina and Adam Schefter saying the same.
Sam, it's not accurate.
So I believe them. Those are good reporters. Those are good. They have sources. The Falcons could be right, and they could do a victory lap of all victory laps on Penix in 3 years, and I hope to God they're right. But nobody else in the league looked at Michael the way that the Falcons did. They like Michael, but nobody else said top four, top six, top eight. Nobody did. Now, they might have taken him 12 or 13 like the Broncos ended up taking Nix, and maybe the Raiders would have taken him if the quarterback was there. That's out of supply and demand. But the Falcons took him at eight because they just valued him more than anybody else.
And if they lose a draft pick because of the Kirk Cousins signings, it is not a stretch or wordplay to say, no, Kirk Cousins cost them money and a pick, and then Michael Penix cost them the eighth overall pick. What worries me a little bit in this is somehow there was a massive change of affection in 6 weeks.
For Kirk or for Michael?
For the front office.
No, I'm saying, though, towards who, though? Because I think it's more towards Penix than
absolutely
it is against Kirk. Yeah.
Absolutely. We think this and we're committed and down this path. And at some point over the ensuing 6 weeks says, wow, we really like this other guy that does the same thing.
But I do think it's a hedge. I mean, it's the ultimate hedge. It really is.
But it is a hedge that makes total failure a lot less likely.
Yes.
And it puts a cap on the success
100%,
you're going to
have. But that's, you keep your job on that one. Nobody gets fired for having a little success. You get fired for having total failure.
How do you even get yourself in this spot?
Falconing. It's not a made-up.
They found a way, man.
Not a made-up term. It's something that's been real.
They gave a guy that, by rumor, maybe they gave Cousins a season or two extra, maybe $100 million more. They found a guy that they just overpaid and over-contracted. They found a way to alienate him.
Yep, he's been here 5 minutes. Welcome to the chaos, Kirk. Welcome to Atlanta. This 1966 it began, Kirk. Now you got your first look at it. All right, speaking of chaos, you're Atlanta Hawks. Filled with chaos, just always been that way. But they are involved in a pretty juicy rumor, which I find funny because the NBA playoffs are just like still in the early stages. We're just kind of finishing up the first round. But when Phoenix got knocked out, the rumors on KD leaving the Suns already started to pop up. There was this Shams Charania report that Kevin Durant never felt comfortable with his role in Phoenix's offense alongside Devin Booker and Bradley Beal. Those sources said KD had persistent issues with the offense, feeling like he was relegated to the corner too often, didn't have proper play design, yada, yada. So then Zach Lowe on his podcast, Zach Lowe does such a good job for ESPN, started mentioning a bunch of teams that could make sense for Kevin Durant. These weren't reports, just like connecting dots. And he mentioned Orlando. Orlando. Hell. You think Kevin Durant's going to go live in Kissimmee? You think he's going to be down there in Altamont Springs? No. Cross them off. Then he mentioned, I'm sure he mentioned the Knicks. Like, the Knicks always get mentioned. I think he mentioned, like, Cleveland, Golden State. He's not going back to Golden State, right? That would be admitting huge mistake not doing it. He's not going to Miami because LeBron's done Miami. I can't follow LeBron. So then Zach Lowe mentioned the Hawks. Let's not laugh our way through the report. Please. The package that Zach Lowe floated was one of the Hawks starting guards, plus DeAndre Hunter and whatever draft capital the Hawks could offer, which... that's going to be tricky since San Antonio has all the Hawks draft capital.
So. He's 35 and really pricey.
I know, but you're the Hawks.
It's not just
good. No. You're the Hawks. Do it. So what?
Oh, absolutely you do it. So I'm saying that, you know, you're not going to have to give up, I don't think, a ton.
It's cheaper now than it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also think that KD 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, It was top shelf. It was first class. It was just the absolute elite fan. Don't even bother me if you're not in position to win and pay me. That's not what it is. As you age, as you get into this part of his career, his standards, for lack of a better word, but his willingness to go to just a couple of franchises, it's different now. I promise you the options are more.
Okay, I agree. Does that benefit the Hawks ever?
Like, probably, because they wouldn't have had access to KD 3-4 years ago, and maybe now they do.
So he might consider us?
I would imagine.
If you're the Hawks.
Shaq considered teams like the Lakers and the Heat, and then he considered the Cavs. Okay, so he played for the Suns.
So you're saying there's a shot?
Didn't we had Stackhouse here. He's like, yeah, I'll play for the Hawks. That's fine.
He was totally finished. Okay. Would DeJounte, DeAndre, and Picks get Kevin Durant here? Because they might want Murray. They don't have a real point guard in Phoenix. They've been playing Booker, and they've been moving it around. Like, they could have Booker at the two. They could have Murray at the point. I don't know if they'd want Hunter.
I don't know. Are you making the money work on this?
I haven't even looked. Like, KD's like $50 million.
Trey and KD? All right. I'm in. I'll watch that.
That'd be fun. That'd be enjoyable. And if you're the Hawks again, it'll get you to the fifth seed, but you'll be relevant. You'll have people watching you. Kevin would be – you get some good Kevin drama. It'd be a good time. And Kevin and Trey are supposed to be boys, so maybe that's a thing that happens. All right, I want to play you some fun audio. You like some fun audio?
If it's fun audio, not awkward audio.
No, it's fun audio.
Okay.
It's fun audio. Do you like your eyebrows?
Kind of attached to them. Been a while.
Right.
I've decided I like them.
ESPN's Dan Orlovsky likes his, but he also feels strongly enough in his conviction that Tom Brady will not return to the NFL in 2024, specifically to the Raiders. He's willing to bet his eyebrows.
Orlovsky, you got 10 seconds. Any chance that he play?
I don't know if they grow back, but if Brady plays for the Raiders this year, I'll shave my eyebrows. As long as they grow back.
Well, now we're all rooting for them.
I don't know.
or against it.
There are some sights in life I don't need to see.
So we looked it up. It actually takes 4 to 6 months for your eyebrows to grow back.
Okay, good for him going, I don't know if they grow back, but I'll shave my eyebrows. And then without slowing down, he immediately goes to, as long as they grow back. Like, it took him from the beginning of the sentence to the end of the sentence to at least put as long as they grow back. So 4 to 6 months, it's a tough look, and I'm going to tell you why. The more you've been out in the sun, if you choose to shave your eyebrows, or, I don't know, you got drunk in the fraternity house and your brothers shaved one of them. If you're tan, suddenly you got that white stripe going right there.
That's tough.
It is.
It's very. And who would have known? I would have lost any amount of money if you asked me how long it takes for your eyebrows to grow back, 4 to 6 months.
Yeah, start wearing glasses a little bit, like where the frame covers the... You know.
Sure. I would have taken the under on that. So your friend David Pollack was a guest of the Locker Room. You can hear the Locker Room 6 to 10. And this was covering a ton of topics. You can hear the entire interview, which was really good, on the 680 The Fan mobile app. At one point, I think it was pretty clear David Pollack admitted... Before NIL, he took some cash.
NIL, to me, for all y'all out there, it stands for now it's legal. There was plenty of people that got plenty of goodies. Now listen.
Be careful.
Now listen. Tech might not have paid as well, but there is plenty of people that were getting paid that got extra benefits. Consider my hand raised, okay?
Pollack. You're telling me Georgia was giving benefits during Mark Richt's era? No.
Oh, not Georgia. It could be the Georgia. It could be boosters, though.
I know, but not under Mark's watch. That happened at Bama, and that happens at Auburn and Tennessee. That didn't happen under Mark Richt. I'm only kidding because that's everybody's belief that their school is the one that's not doing it. When we go, everybody's cheating, and the pushback is, you can't say that. We're not. Okay.
Well, man, guy was a 2-time All-American. I'd like him to come back for year 3, and he did. So whoever paid David Pollack, good for them.
And then you're pointing fingers. Cam took money at Auburn, and I'm going to bet – Jay Barker took money at Alabama, and I'm going to tell you that Tennessee paid, and we just, everybody else. Not my team. My team didn't do it.
The silliness to me was Todd Gurley taking $3,000. If the number one running back in America, you offered him $3,000, he would not walk across the street for that money. And then when name, image, likeness started, remember De'Aaron King? He got $5,000 for the gym down in Miami. Bo Nix got $20,000 for Milo's tea. They were so precious 3 years ago.
I'm going to tell you what, though. $3,000? Todd was like 19. You remember when $3,000 felt like at night? $3,000.
Yeah, and if you knew his background, like his mom, I think, worked in the high school cafeteria back in Tarboro. It was just a tough, tough, tough situation. So that was really needed.
Todd and I came from the same kind of background. So $3,000.
Oh, hush.
That's all I'm saying. $3,000?
No.
19 years old? I don't know, man.
Goes a long way in Dunwoody.
Thank you. Dunwoody Food Mart, that's not cheap over there.
There are tracks in Dunwoody. We were on the wrong side.
We had to go over to Doraville. I don't want to talk about it. Tough times. So finally, I want to play you, and this is long and strong, but it's Chris Mad Dog Russo. And what I like about this is Mad Dog is going after Knicks fans for just being jacklegs.
They're excited. They haven't had – they're excited.
Yeah, they don't have reference to winning.
Yeah.
So they're up in their series over Philly. The last great moment they had was when they beat the Hawks in game two of the 21 first round, and they were screaming F Trae Young. These people are just lowlifes.
And Trae is balding.
Trae is balding. That was it. So here is Mad Dog, who I was going to say doesn't understand. He does understand. He doesn't like the Knicks fans acting like morons.
And the Knicks fan, you know, Knicks in five, Knicks in... Guys, it's the first round, Knicks in five. Stop. They've won two championships. Have you heard of John Gianelli?
No.
For crying out loud. Dean Memminger?
Nope.
For crying out loud. Dave Stallworth? No. Nate Bowman?
No.
Crying out loud.
Never heard of him.
Danny Whalen, for crying out loud. Have you heard of Jim Corvallis?
No.
My God, Bob Wolf?
Who?
That's the Knicks.
I think he did Law and Order.
Those are the Knicks. Cal Ramsey. Those are the Knicks.
Who's Cal Ramsey?
They beat the Sixers 97-92, and you would have thought they won their 10th straight NBA championship. I mean, I could not believe when I saw the video nonsense from yesterday. A bunch of Knicks fans who don't know their asses from their elbow when it comes to the Knicks. And to top it all off, Sixer fans allowed the Knicks in their building.
Standing ovation for Mad Dog. It's one of the great rants he's had. I don't know any of those players, but everything else he said I agree with.
Dean Memminger, that's it. Dean the
Who?
Dream.
Dean Memminger.
Dean the Dream.
That team is 50 years old.
Those are the Knicks.
1973.
Yeah, there were drugs, and then he died. There were other things, but that was kind of Dean Memminger. Okay.
Car accident?
No.
He just said drugs.
Well, okay.
He might have gotten behind the wheel, but we don't know. Point is, that was one of Mad Dog's great ones, and he's right. The Knicks fans are jacklegs.
But, again, having not experienced this for a while, you do what you do. I don't know. I referenced earlier.
I got news for you. The 91 Braves did something we hadn't seen in a while. Mm-hmm. Do you remember Brave fans out yelling, F. Kirby Puckett. F. Kirby's balding. No, we had class.
There was a little bit of a break in the success. There's a playoff, a play-in game. What was it? The tiebreaker game against the Cardinals. Call goes the other way. You start throwing beer cans on the field.
I didn't throw anything because I don't
Why?
Do that.
Why? Because you got emotional in the moment.
Yeah, you can't really say that stuff.
Celtics in 2008.
People are going to believe
yelling at Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce.
I did that. That's so true.
Why? Because you were excited in the moment. You were in the eighth seed, and you knew you were going to lose, but you kind of...
I think you got confused.
Yourself a little bit.
I threw beer cans at KG and Durant. That's what I did that.
I threw gang signs at Paul Pierce.
Oh, no, I threw gang signs at the Cardinals.
You're
confusing my anger and my rage as a fan. All right, coming up next, I'm curious what those who make the big deals in the NFL thought the moment the Falcons drafted Michael Penix. We know what the media and the fans thought. What about the deal makers? Find out next. It's Chucky Chernoff. Atlanta's most fun afternoon drive.
Chucky Chernoff.
Are we there?
Thank you, Elmo.
No,
Elmo
I
says
love
it.
You.
Oh, okay.
Elmo loves us. We love Elmo. We're with you till 6 and then 680 Rewind. Covering the biggest moments of the 680 broadcasting day is on the way. Now, if you happen to miss any of our show or the Locker Room 6 to 10 or the Buck Ballou Show 10 to 11 or Chiellini Domino 11 to 2, you can always stay connected to hear it again. Some of your favorite moments on the Fan app. You'll also get your latest news, all of your favorite fan shows on that Fan app sponsored by Beaver Direct. Beaver Direct is the fastest and easiest way to shop online for your next vehicle. Visit BeaverToyotaOfComing.com to see what
Wow
really means. Download the Fan app now in the Apple app and Google Play stores.
Well, you had me from hello. He's an agent for the pros. And now he's on our show. Matt wanted some production. Here we go. It's you, Hadley, from hello.
What a special day and a Tuesday appearance from our super agent to the stars, Hadley Engelhardt, who's kind enough to join us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Hadley, I'm curious what the text chain might look like because my phone blew up Thursday night when the Falcons drafted Michael Penix and none of us saw it. What is the talk in the agent community of a move like that when it happens, when it's not on anybody's radar?
First of all, I was one of those texts.
You were.
In the chain, I'm sure.
You were.
Guilty as charged. Yeah, first of all, in our community, there was a lot going on between agents and agents. And with me, at least, I was talking to personnel people, general managers, assistant general managers. The fact that I'm based here in Atlanta, you know, did I have any further insight? But there was a lot of head scratching. I think the smoke has, you know, been alleviated, and people are now maybe understanding certain things, right or wrong, on why this pick happened. But yes, on Thursday night, there was a lot of commotion going on in the agent football world.
What if you were Kirk's agent, right? Because the Falcons called Kirk while they're on the clock, and it had to be a rushed call of, hey, bro, we just are about to announce we're taking Penix at 8. What do you think Kirk's reaction, and what was the conversation like with his agent? Because after the fact, they were pretty public of how upset they were.
Yeah, first of all, his agent, Mike McCartney, who's a longtime friend of mine, used to be on the other side of the ledger and was on the personnel side. So he's been there, and it's an odd phone call they had to make to him. Obviously, when they signed with the Falcons, putting the money aside, you know, the idea was he's the quarterback, no ifs, ands, or buts. And I still think that's the case. Let's not feel sorry for Kirk in the sense that the money he's made to date with Minnesota and what he's already guaranteed to make with Atlanta, things are going to be okay for him. I just think the optics are not the best. I think they could have told him, hey, listen, as we go into the draft, we're not looking to add a quarterback. However, if there's a quarterback that we feel could be your heir apparent and he's there at 8, we may you know, look at that, just to give him some sort of heads up, and then let him know, as we, obviously as it was happening, that they were in fact picking Penix. But, you know, I think, you know, it's not good. It's not good that Mike McCartney said it was a last-minute phone call. So the PR and all this was not a great job by Atlanta as they went through this process.
Have you had a case? I'm sure you have. Ricky Pearsall, and, you know, in the media, we may know stuff, but we're just lucky sometimes. A lot of times we don't. We all thought Ricky Pearsall, second, third-round pick. Ricky Pearsall, it is the end of the first round, get the fifth year. They really valued him. Now he's a first-round pick. There's that scenario, which everybody looks at as a positive. And then there's the Falcons' second-round pick with Rook, who at 43, most people would have been surprised, 35, et cetera, a lot of surprise. But for the agent and the kid, talk about that experience where maybe y'all weren't expecting to be the 35th overall pick or the 31st in the case of Pearsall.
Yeah, I mean, Chuck, that happens all the time, obviously, right? You know, we do our research and we talk to enough people and we have an idea of a range. And in both these players' cases, you know, we're using the internet as our guide. And really, that's not the true guide that agents use. And it works for and against us because we educate our clients always that based upon talking to teams and general managers, here's where you're projected to go. They read differently on the internet and their families do, and they have different expectations. So not knowing the behind the scenes with either player, I can tell you firsthand with clients of ours that, you know, you have a better understanding talking to teams directly. And this may not have been a surprise at all to either a camp with regard to where they were projected, because it happens. And we all sit and play armchair quarterback, and you see these people grade the drafts. And, you know, I was with people this weekend on Sunday, and they were asking my thoughts about the draft. And I always say the same thing every year. Talk to me in 3 years. Because at that point, that's when you get a true evaluation of how did this draft class for any team work out.
Now, you can't work in the media with that kind of attitude, mister. We need opinions now. No 3 years waiting.
Exactly.
Hadley Engelhardt, our agent to the stars with Chuck and Charnoff on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line.
All right. Bill Romanowski, if you haven't seen, he's in the news. Department of Justice says he and his wife owe $15.5 million in taxes. He's 58 years old, and I'm not trying to be flippant here. I have no idea. I can't imagine how many concussions he had in his career. If you're in Dutch to the government for whatever, $15 million, and you're 58, and you may have already kind of wound through your media opportunity, like what do you do if Bill Romanowski was your client at this point? He says, I'm busted. I'm at my bottom. I have, like, there has to be a career rehab that, like, you as an agent, you have helped facilitate that before as well, I'm sure.
We have, and not to this extreme. I mean, what we try to do is, you know, get in front of this. And so this wasn't a one-time, one-year issue with him. Obviously, this has been going on for 30-plus years, maybe. So it's something that we've had clients over the course of my career where they've run into situations and you try to get in front of it and limit the damage and limit the PR, obviously, but limit the actual damage and put them on a payment plan, get them with the right financial people. And, you know, in theory, you know, you hope that no one ever runs down this road and has these problems, but it does happen. And to be this far back on taxes and be this senior in your life is not great. And it should have been addressed earlier, not knowing the specifics like you talked about, Chuck. But it's something that we, again, try to educate from day one. And even when that doesn't always work, we try to get in front of it so we limit the damage.
I saw an 800 number in a commercial. You can settle with the IRS and maybe Bill will do that.
Yeah, I think he's beyond that one.
All right. So Hadley, talk me through the night of the draft comes, your player gets drafted, he wakes up the next morning, now I'm on an NFL roster, I want to go spend. I got the contracts coming, I know what the numbers are going to be, I'm going to go get a car, I'm going to go buy a house. Do I take out some loans? Do you tell me not to buy it? Like, what is the money situation when the contract's not signed, but I've been drafted?
Yeah, I mean, this gets back to the same, you know, getting in front of it. You know, we educate our clients once they become a new client and they're entering that whole rookie phase before they're even drafted, talking about those expectations and talking about budgeting and making sure with the right financial people. And, you know, even though it becomes a reality once the draft happens, you still have to stay on course, understand that there's still a job to do. And, you know, put them on that plan along with their financial advisor. You know, you've got to go to rookie minicamp either this weekend or next weekend. And then, you know, come mid-May, you're there for the next 6 weeks with OTAs and veteran minicamps and all that kind of wonderful stuff that goes into it. So you try to be smart about it and not let people get out of control and obviously spend the money even before they get their money, because people don't realize these contracts aren't done yet, even though they're protected. Mm-hmm. And even if contracts aren't signed before they go to a rookie minicamp, all players will sign a letter of protection, which protects a player that if there's an injury between today and the time they sign their contract, they're protected with the numbers that they would have gotten otherwise as a drafted rookie. So
you don't have to give me names on this players. On this one, Tadley. You don't have to tell me a name. But have you had those clients?
No names. We've had clients that have come to us and want to spend and want to do 100%. It happens. But, you know, and you've got to work with them and their financial advisors. And it does happen. Guys get new cars before they do get their contracts, and banks will give them money. And, you know, within reason, sometimes it's okay because they're doing it knowing they're getting $10 million, $6 million, $2 million. And they're buying a new car. That's within reason. So we work with them on that. But, you know, that's the exception more than the rule. Most of these guys, and now a lot of these guys come to us with cars through NIL. They already got car deals. Yeah. So we're in a whole different world economically because of NIL that, you know, these players come into the league with money that they never normally had.
I have to imagine they have it's easier now because when they get to you as a rookie previously, you had to educate them about things like taxes and agents' fees and union dues and all that, and they all get that in college now.
Well, they get – there's an education part in most colleges, not all colleges, but again – a lot of these guys don't want to pay taxes yet. They feel like, oh, I'll do it next year with the money that I make next year. And, you know, they meet their new uncle, especially if they're a high draft choice, and they meet them, your uncle, very soon, and they realize Uncle Sam is there and there to stay, and you got to be good to him. Otherwise, you're in Bill Romanowski's position, and you don't want to be in that position.
Hadley, one last one for you. So the undrafted free agent part that happens moments after the seventh round and Mr. Irrelevant, we always hear that you'd rather be undrafted than the seventh rounder because you have your choices. How crazy is that few minutes after the draft with calls and offers? And I'm sure teams have a list of players that they prioritize. So what's that hour or two after the draft like?
It's actually not the hour or two after. It's when the seventh round begins.
Okay.
And usually the pandemonium really ends within 30 minutes after the draft. You've already agreed to terms pending the player doesn't get drafted. We had that happen with one of our clients this year. And, you know, when you have a player like this player in particular that was a draftable player by every scout and every team, he fell through the cracks. And we weren't sure he'd still go undrafted, but he did. So we had leveraged that a lot of teams wanted him. So you're able to negotiate a nice signing bonus, more importantly, significant guaranteed money. And it's only a three-year deal versus a four-year deal. So you hit free agency a 1 year earlier than a draft choice. So in our case, there's a lot of positives to it, but a lot of the crazy stuff happens even before the draft ends. And there's a lot going on, a lot of phone calls, and you've got to figure out which is not just the right opportunity financially, but which is the right opportunity to actually make the roster and make the rookie salary of close to $800,000.
The reason I bring it up, it's been reported that Kendall Milton, the Georgia running back, got a $25,000 bonus from the Eagles and $225,000 guaranteed for a total of $250,000 in guarantees from Philly. Second most in the undrafted market.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so I'm looking at it now, and those are accurate statements that they were given. And that those are, you know, that's on the higher end. But there are guys that have received more than him. And, you know, so it's that's one of the more quality. Anytime you get anything north of $130,000 to $250,000 in combined signing bonus and guaranteed, that is a great deal. What's more important is he going to make that 53-man roster? Is that the best opportunity for him? Otherwise, these guarantees are eaten up by the practice squad. So it's not like you get – if he makes the practice squad, it doesn't he doesn't get the double dip.
Okay.
So, you know, people don't kind of tell you that. So the key is it the right opportunity for him to make the 53-man roster? If it is, then it's a great contract for him.
I love when I learn stuff. That's the best part of having Hadley on each and every week. Hadley Engelhardt, our agent to the stars. Great info, my friend. We'll do it again next week.
Okay.
Appreciate it very much. Hadley on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. All right, coming up, it's time for Unfinished Business, where we try to close some loops on things on the show that we've left open. And here's what I do know. Gambling is coming to Georgia, but not the way you think. And we'll tell you how we undersold a future attendee of the Atlanta Falcons fan cruise that has yet to set sail. We'll do it next.
We all know Chuck has a lot of random thoughts throughout the show.
Why don't you have him cutting his penis off then, huh?
And Matt likes to tell crappy jokes no one understands.
We're looking for Uranus.
So now, it's time to circle back on some stuff we didn't get to the bottom of. We now present to you Unfinished Business, presented by Zero FG Energy. Live free with Zero FG on Chuck and Chernoff.
Chuck and Chernoff, as we wind down the program before turning things over to 680 Rewind, which is some of the best parts of the 680 The Fan broadcasting day. If you missed it, you'll get a chance to hear it, or if you heard it, relive it again. Jeff Francoeur, you'll hear that coming up. Plus JT Daniels, the college football nomad, talking about his college career, all a part of 680 Rewind, coming up at 6 o'clock. In the meanwhile, Chuck and Chernoff finish things up by closing up some loops that we left open throughout the day. We call it Unfinished Business. Ryan Gephardt, what do we have to close up?
So walked out in the hallway again to go to the bathroom, and it's twice now in a week where hallway just reeks of weed.
I mean, just last week when I was out there, it was beyond palpable.
It's a similar scent, and you kind of we're feeling it might be down the hallway, but we...
What do I smell?
Anybody we should rule out...
Are you talking
out
about, like, the political station down the hallway?
No.
You're saying it's them?
So out back between the restrooms and then the other office to the ladder guys.
Oh. Yeah.
So we're trying to pinpoint who might...
And so Spicoli just steps out in the hall, blazes up, and then goes back to the conference call in whatever office.
I mean, this is ballsy. Like, it is just, it hits you in the face. I have a contact high.
Yeah. There's no try to hide it either. There's no towel under the door. There's no, you know, air freshener sheet.
Y'all know about the sploof?
Yeah.
Sploof. Ooh, giddy up the sploof.
What's that now, Cole?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, we'll see if this continues. It seems to be a trend so far. We'll see if it happens later on this week.
Every Tuesday.
But this is the important thing we got to get to.
Yes.
Today's top story was about how, in the near future, Dave & Buster's will allow their customers, thank you, Colin, to bet against each other on certain arcade games. So the company behind this is called Lucra.
Yeah.
And Lucra and Dave & Buster's says there's going to be a limit placed on the size of the bets. I know, Matt, earlier you had mentioned $5. But right now, the average bet actually is $10.
Really?
Against each other back and forth.
Better action.
So... By the way, Lucra is available in 44 states, including Georgia. And here's how they get around it. Here's how they get around it. So they're a skill-based game. Think Underdog, Prize Picks, that sort of thing. And they're not subject to the same licenses and regulations gambling operators face with games of chance. So they're careful not to use the term bet or wager.
Okay.
But they describe their games instead as real money contests or challenges. Awesome. So this is how they get around it. And this all falls under the social betting category.
I'm a love broker.
Mm-hmm, exactly. This is a $6 billion industry, too, the social betting thing, if you will. So this is going to be – Georgia's one of the states that it's allowed in.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
So this is good, though, because, like, there's an untapped market for these places to now bring in this kind of revenue that
peer-to-peer wagering.
I can gamble on pop a shot, whack-a-mole. Okay. We can go head-to-head and skee-ball.
I see how this goes. Matt's going to show up and, like, just start losing $5, $5, $5, and then start upping it a little bit, and all of a sudden, walk out with everybody's money.
It's called hustling.
You have to, exactly. You got to tank a little bit, be the mark, and then people get angry and start upping their bets.
What you want, you don't want is you don't want air hockey with me. You don't want that life.
That's the one? I was going to say, which one do you choose?
Every dollar off you.
Yeah?
Oh, air hockey. I take your money.
Chuck, what's yours? I know there's one.
Ping pong for me.
Skee ball, I'm pretty damn good at.
Okay.
I always, I remember the 100 and the 50 was, and so if you can make a living with the 50s, all right? You go for the 100, the little one, you wind up with nothing. So, you can make a good living.
Can we bet the racing games?
I think so.
Oh, that's awesome.
It doesn't specify which games it's allowed to as of this moment, but if you can. Okay. We all got a different
Monaco,
skill set.
Monaco, GT, me against you.
All of it. You know, they also have the fake axe throwing game. Now with Dave and Buster, so we can gamble on that. This is huge. Or no, we don't wager.
Money contest.
Real money contest. Sorry. Or a challenge.
Okay.
It's a challenge. So I'll take Papa Shot. I'll go up against anybody in Papa Shot. That's good with me.
I'm excited about this.
Side note, Dave and Buster's stock up over 50% in the last year. So this is obviously a good move for them.
What a time for Dave and Buster's. How much free advertising have we given them today?
There's a story out there. If y'all remember Gilbert Arenas, who's like an 8-time All-Star.
Agent Zero.
He went to a county fair about a decade ago. And a-hole move, he literally shot all the won all the prizes, walked away with all of the guy's stuffed animals.
That's a flex.
What? No, it's not if you're an all-star at the county fair.
Just to say you can win them all because you can, it's pretty awesome. You start giving away to some females around you, that's a big win. You give a girl some from a county fair.
And they all the girls for this one.
Yeah.
So earlier in the show, we had mentioned Lincoln Kennedy, who you guys had said maybe he played 5, 6, 7 years.
I set the number at 6.5 years. I took the over.
I took the over, which made his time in the Arena League even worse to me.
Yeah. 11 seasons for Lincoln Kennedy. 3 with the Falcons and then 8 with the Raiders after that. He started almost every game, too, in that 8-year stretch with the Raiders. Mm-hmm. 3 seasons with the Tampa Bay Swarm after that.
So maybe he did it for the love. He wanted to keep playing. He loved playing offensive tackle. Is that okay? You guys are so judgmental.
Named after 2 presidents.
Tim Anderson hurt his thumb, too. That's for sure.
He did? Thank you.
It was his thumb. He's out of the lineup tonight, Chuck.
Thank you.
Very important.
Validated.
We closed up with a Tim Anderson note. Thank you, Brian Gephardt. Excellent job. There's unfinished business. Tomorrow, remember, day baseball, Braves and Mariners, so we'll talk to you on Thursday. Tonight, you'll get late-night action after the Ford leadoff show and 680 game day, 940 first pitch. Thanks to Colin. Thanks to Brian. Thanks to Derek Thomas, and thanks to you guys for spending your Tuesday with us. Have a wonderful Tuesday evening. Good night now.
Take care. Bye.
Baseball fans, get Fubo to watch your team without cable. Fubo has Bally Sports, ESPN, and more top sports channels. You can record games with the included DVR or stream them on the go with the Fubo app. Start watching today at FuboTV.com. That's FuboTV.com.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
Baseball fans, get Fubo to watch your team without cable. Fubo has Bally Sports, ESPN, and more top sports channels. You can record games with the included DVR or stream them on the go with the Fubo app. Start watching today at FuboTV.com. That's FuboTV.com.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.